Welcome to the Harrison Faith Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor Brian Herring. It's our prayer this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to talk about dumb thing wise men do. We've been talking about canceling Christmas and how it's not canceled, that everything's going, and in today's message, you know, the last chance to cancel it was, we know that Herod, as the wise men came up to him, if you don't know, we're going to talk about it in just a minute. Herod had a great opportunity because he was going to kill off all the babies two and under to make sure there was never going to be a Christ child born, living, and be able to do anything. So I want you to know Christmas is still on, and we're going to learn a little bit of things that even the wise men, as wise they are, and I want you to know these wise men were not dummies. These guys are smart. These guys were intelligent. The people sought their wisdom out, but I want you to also understand that even when you're wise, you can do dumb things. Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. And I can tell you about some of the dumb things he did, but I'm not going to talk about Solomon today. So let me ask you these questions. Why did wise men ever stop in their journey to ask King Herod for information? Isn't that just a crazy thought? Here they're wise, they're following after, and for some reason they said, you know what? Let's stop and let's ask this king who's going to be the next king of kings. For whatever reason, they thought this was a great idea. So anyway, as we dive in, we're going to learn a little bit more about this. So Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to go all the way to verse 12, but I'm going to stop along the way. Verse 1, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. And about that time, some wise men from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it arose, and we have come to worship him. Listen, they were wise. These wise men were wise because the very first thing, they believed in God. They believed in God. Unlike the other scientific community that pass off and said there's nothing out there, they looked and said at everything in the universe and looked at God's handiwork and said there's a God out there. We want to find out. So they were searchers, and they were searching to find out who this God was, and they wanted to know more about him, and they could not wait. So they believed. The very first thing that we see is they believed, and they sought after him. So they believed this. It's strange to me that a lot of intelligent people can ignore the intelligence of God, the wisdom of God that only God can come. And so here's we got these wise men. They said, we're not going to ignore this, that there is something true to this, something wise to this, and we have to find ourselves to know more about him. In fact, we're going to hear about this just a little bit, but it probably took about a year and a half just to travel with their caravan that they were traveling with just to get to where the star settled and so they could even meet Jesus. These men were beloved and loved wisdom and known for their knowledge and even with everything that they had going on for them. And they were not poor men either. They were wealthy. As we know, they carried very expensive gifts to the Christ child. But in all of that, in all of their wisdom, they said there's got to be something bigger than we are. And they sought after it. So these guys were wise. In verse 3, it goes on. It says, King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and the teachers of religious law and asked, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? In Jerusalem, in Judea, they said, for this is what the prophet wrote, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you, and who will be the shepherd for my people in Israel. Here's what we see, is that they believe the significance of the scriptures. Do you know that when you search the Bible and wonder why they followed the star, there's only one verse in all the Old Testament and all the scriptures that even refers to this. And it's in Numbers chapter 24, verse 17. And this is the only verse that the wise men could go on whenever they heard about a new star approaching. It was this one verse that the scripture basically said that there would be a star in Israel when the righteous king was to be born. And so these wise men were looking for this star, and when it appeared, they immediately put together with scripture, and they said, we have got to go find this righteous king. We've got to go begin to search out. And so it's amazing to me how many of us can miss and totally disregard for scriptures, and that the only thing that these wise men had was one scripture that they held held on to, and they said, we are going to believe in the reality of what this word says, and we're going to seek after this righteous king. Isn't that powerful? Here they are. They go on, and in verse 7, it says, then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and they learned from them from time that the star had first appeared. And then he told them, go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go worship him too. And after this interview with the wise men went on their way, and the star that they had seen in the east to guide them to Bethlehem, and it went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered into the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. And then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And when it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. Here's the third thing that we see about these wise men, and why they were wise, is they sought after Jesus. So many times people give up their looking too quickly. They're looking for something. They're looking for something. They don't know what it is. These wise men didn't know what they were looking for. They didn't have a clue what they were looking for, but they didn't give up. They said, we're going to keep searching until we find him. And so if you really think about it, you can understand why the shepherds came, can't you? I mean, if you're a shepherd, basically this whole host of angels appears in the sky and says, you know, peace on earth, goodwill to men, and says unto you a child, a Savior is born, and you hear this great proclamation of angels in the sky. They're singing glory to God in the highest, and they say there's a Savior, and he's just right over the hill. All you have to go is just a little bit further, just not too far away, and he's right there. It was easy for them. They had a big sound, a sign. They had a short distance to travel. It was just down the road, just a little bit, and they could go that very night and see what had just been proclaimed. But for these wise men and for these wise kings, it wasn't like that. They had little revelation. They only had this one scripture to go off, but they moved out a little revelation that they had, and some suggest that they traveled a distance of over 1,000 miles, which would have taken them that year and a half to get there by caravan. They were really seeking after Jesus. They really wanted to seek and find out who Jesus really was. And so there was an intention to seek. And so before I get into what I want to get into the heart of the message, the dumb thing that wise men do, I just want you to understand, if you're going to really know the meaning of Christmas and you're going to receive all that God has for you, the very first thing you have to do is you have to seek him. This year has been a tough time to seek. But you know what I have found? Every time I look for him, he's there. I have never, and I can't quote it with the enthusiasm that our original writer wrote, but I'll tell you that even at my age, I have never seen the righteous forsaken or seed begging for bread. I've never seen people do it without. I've never seen people go through something where Christ wasn't there to walk through them through very difficult times, through very hard times, through very difficult situations in life. And so that's what this year's been. So, if you're going to find Christ, you're going to have to keep searching for him. So let's talk about some of the things. This is the heart of my message, the dumb things that wise men do. The very first thing that I get whenever I was reading the scriptures that jumped out to me is they stopped looking. Like, why did they stop looking? As you read the scripture, it occurred to me that the star was still in the sky, but all of a sudden, during the daylight, as they were walking to Jerusalem, did they get caught up in the city that all of a sudden they didn't see the star? You know, the star didn't just disappear at night. The star had always been there, but for whatever reason, they had already had their mind up that they were going to Jerusalem, that they were going to the city, and that when they got there, all of a sudden, they began to stop and ask the King Herod for where what's going on, and does he know anything that's going on, because they're trying to find the direction. So the very first thing we did is they stopped looking up to where their help was coming from in the beginning. The very first thing that's going to get you in trouble, that's going to get me in trouble, when we're going through things, is when we stop looking to Christ. When we stop looking for the Master. When we stop looking for God in these things. When we stop looking for the author and the finisher of our faith in the situation, that's when we begin to get lost. When we begin to turn our eyes away, what caused these wise men to stop looking up when they were going through this? You will find yourself off track with God when you stop looking to Him in the situations you're going through. How is your daily devotional life with God? How's it been this year when you're going through difficult times? You know, the number one complaint that we get, or people's excuse, rather, of why they don't have a daily time with God is they say, we just don't have any time. And yet this year, people have had more time away from doing the other things when everything else has been shut down to be able to get into the Word, seek after God, and really find Him. And you know what we find? People still don't have time. They're still too busy to have that daily devotion with God. And then they wonder where they are, why things are where God is through everything. God's where He's always been. We just stop looking to Him for our help. The second thing that we see here, that the dumb thing that the wise men did, is they thought that they had arrived prematurely. They thought when they got to the city, they thought this was it. They thought that this is where it was going to happen. And so they had some more miles to walk, but this is where they stopped. How many times do you feel like God's leading us to a direction or to do something for Him, and we stop too soon? Do you know the most frustrating thing as a pastor who's trying to help people? The job of a pastor is to equip people, right? It's to equip the saints. It's to equip them to do the ministry that God's called them to do. And when you give them an opportunity and you say, listen, I believe that I'm believing with you. You said that God's called you to this. I believe God's called you to this. Here's your opportunity. And they get all the way up to the opportunity, and then they quit. And they give up. And they don't follow through. And then they give everybody else's, they blame everybody else for what happened rather than taking responsibility for themselves and just giving up. It's tough. How many times do we stop too short of fulfilling the promises that God has called us to do? In fact, at what stage is it okay to say, I don't have to do this? It's not. We stop so short of reaching what God has called us to do. In fact, I believe there are people in here that could impact hundreds, if not thousands, of people if you would just finish out what God has called you to do and stop stopping short of the promises God's given you. And in fact, so many, I'm trying to tread carefully here, so just bear with me. So many people have started something and not finished it, and they start and stop, that now people are beginning to lose faith in you. God's calling is not going away, but they're losing faith in your follow-through because you said you were going to do this and you didn't do it. You said you were going to do this and you didn't do this. Listen, there's got to be something about following through with what God has called you to do. Stop stopping short. Stop giving up so quickly. Then the third thing they did is they had assumed that things that they ought not to have assumed. These wise men assumed that the king of the Jews would be welcomed by all the Jews, and he wasn't. They made the assumption that the Jewish king would be born in the city of Jerusalem. The problem is God's ways are not our ways. In fact, when you really look at it, it's amazing to find out that the king of the Jews was not born in a palace. He wasn't even born in a hotel. He wasn't born in a house, and he wasn't even born in a nice little barn. He was born in a lean-to barn, a stable, placed in a manger, just a trough, just a feeding trough. That's where they found him. There's so many things I could tie into there, but I don't have the time to really get into it. But I believe it's so that, just to sum it up, that Christ wanted to be here for all people. That he came up to let you know that no matter how low you feel, he's been there and he's there. He's the Savior for you. If you're the kings, and like the wise men who are going around with their caravan trying to find him, he is the king of those. There is no one that he's not king and lord over. And so when he came in just such a lowly way. Then they ask, the next thing that they, was the dumb thing that they did, is they ask for godly advice from an ungodly king. How many times have we found ourselves asking people who have no concept of God what we should be doing with our life? And then we take their advice over what God has spoken to our heart, and all of a sudden we wonder why everything's not going the way we'd hoped, prayed, believed for, and thought for. How many times have we listened to the wrong voices, to the wrong friends, to the wrong family member, to the wrong manager? How many times have we listened to the wrong voices in our life, and when things didn't go our way, we blamed everybody else instead of just taking responsibility? Because let me tell you, who and what you listen to affect what you do. You've got to understand that. Who and what you listen to affect what you do. Who you allow to speak into your life. We see it all the time. We see it's easy as parents to identify it in our children with their friends, but we don't always identify it in ourselves. We don't identify it in the fact that we allow people to speak into our life. Everything from the media, everything from social media, to people at work, to people on our job, and then when they speak into our life, and we're like, man, that makes a lot of sense. Listen, be careful what you listen to. Foolishness will begin to make sense after a while. Unlike these kings from the east, Herod was a wicked king. So why is it that these people took time to stop to look for godly wisdom from this ungodly king? In fact, do you know what King Herod's response was after they left? What we talked about earlier is that he ordered the death of every baby 2 years old and under in the entire kingdom because nobody was going to take his throne. You dive in a little bit deeper and you find out another thing that these great wise men did that was dumb. They expected the world to encourage them in their walk for Christ. They thought as they went along, oh yeah, this will be great. The Jewish people heard about the Messiah being born, and the Bible says that a fear gripped over the entire city. Not encouragement, not joy, a fear gripped over the entire city. These people had been blessed with the report and the witness that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was being born. And instead of being encouraging, they were gripped with fear. If you're waiting on the world or the things in this life to pat you on the back and tell you you're doing a great job, it's never going to happen. We have got to trust the word of God for our family, for our life, and believe what he's leading us to. I really think this year has been a very tough year for a lot of people emotionally. I think it's been a tough psychologically. Some of us have gone through financial hardships. I feel that. We just talked a little bit about this, and thankful for your giving and the partnership with the other churches that we brought in with this. We were able to go from taking care of 65 Angel Tree all the way up to almost 200. I think it was 198 Angel Tree. When we were talking with the social worker, she told us that the poverty rate in Harrison School District was in March was about 160 something, and it's almost 300 now students that are in the poverty homeless state for the social workers. It's been a hard year for a lot of families. We didn't triple our Christmas angel tree because there was kids who just said, gimme, gimme, gimme. They met a certain criteria. And in doing that, that says families are hurting. There's some dads out there that are feeling rough and feeling like failures and don't know where else to go, and they're looking for encouragement. And I tell you, I wish and I pray that we would be that encouragement for them. But if you're that person, sometimes the only thing you've got is the word of God, and you've got to hold on to the word that God's given you. There are seasons when I've gone through very deep darkness and tough times, and you know what? It wasn't people around me that encouraged me. I had to hold to a scripture and pray and say, God, I'm just believing. I'm believing in what you said because, God, I don't feel it right now. There's times where I felt alone. There's times where I felt like I was the only one who was going through. Nobody understood what I was going through. There was times where I felt like giving up, and I just had to hold on to the word. Lord, you promised me this. God, you told me this. You've told me this. You've promised me this. And it's through that that I was able to make it through to what God wanted me to do. So the problem is that when we get off track, there are consequences. These wise men lost time. I mean, when you look at it, they lost precious time that will never be given back. Because of they didn't follow the word of God. They didn't keep on track. Babies died through this situation. Families had to flee. In fact, we know that Mary and Joseph had to flee because Herod was killing all the babies. And so, therefore, they had to flee to protect Jesus. And in doing all this, there was consequence after consequence after consequences, all because they didn't stay on track with what God had told them to do. So, if you're here today, how do you get back on track? How do you get back on track when it feels like everything's off track? Number one, get away from the crowd. The very first thing I have to do is I have to get away from the crowd. I have to pull away from the people that are speaking negative in my life, that are pulling me down, the voices in my head, the voices in the crowd. I have to pull away. The very first thing I have to do is pull away from the crowd. The crowd doesn't have your best interest. The second thing is you have to look up again. You need to look to Jesus. You need to begin to look to God for the answer. You need to begin to seek after Him. You need to be able to seek Him early in the morning and late at night before you go to bed. It's hard to have a great day until I've started my day off in the Word. It's easy to lose sleep when I didn't finish in the right way and calm myself in my spirit. Another way is to get on track is we have to renew our faith in the Word of God. I have to believe what it says. It's not enough for me to just begin to look and get into it. I have to be able to have faith and trust what it says is true. I have to believe that the Word of God is inspired, written by men, but it is the inherent Word of God because God wrote through them as they wrote the Bible and put their pen to paper, that God used them to write His Word down. Here's another thing. Follow the star. Follow God's guidance again. Begin to get back on track. Where is God leading you during this season? And the last thing I can tell you, if you want to be wise and get back on track, is don't look back anymore. Don't look back. Stop looking back. I have been praying all weekend and getting things ready for 2021 and been meeting with the staff about the ideas we had for 2021. But you know the very first thing we do is we celebrate the wins and then we don't look back anymore. We want to know what God has done. We want to see His footsteps along the path because sometimes it's not that you've gone through something and look back. You can see it. But I don't let the past drag me down. Because while I'm celebrating the wins, I can also look back and I can get stuck in the tracks of where I messed up. I can look back and I can see all my missteps. I can look back and see where I didn't always make the right choices. I can look back and say, here's where God told me to go forward, and I didn't because I was too afraid. Here's where God told me to change jobs, and I didn't, and now I'm miserable. Here's where God told me to do this, and I didn't do that, and now I'm upset again. Here's where I should have done this. Here's where I should have done that. Why didn't I do that? I can get stuck. So the very last thing I do, I want to keep moving forward, is I have to stop looking back. As this year goes by, I'll tell you, this Christmas could be one of the greatest ones you've ever had. It's going to be different, but it could be great. It's going to be different because as you go visit family, and some of you are, you're going to be in a room full of people that you're used to seeing their smiling face and laughing and joking, and there's going to be people in the room that don't feel comfortable. They have masks. There's going to be people who don't come this year to Christmas because they're worried about safety. There's going to be people who come this year who are in a very difficult situation and they're not a lot of fun to be around. It's going to look different. But if you will allow Christ to be the center, I promise you, God's going to do something in these family times. I have never cherished family more than this year. Because when you don't feel like you have anything else, you realize family is forever. I've never cherished my relationship with Christ more than ever before. Because when I don't know what else to do and there's no map for going through what we're going through this year, I know that God has been faithful to me during the season. I can tell you time and time again where He's led, He's directed our path, and we followed, and God's done something great and extraordinary each time. Doesn't mean we're perfect, but I can see the hand of God at work. I'm going to ask you to stand. As you're in this place today, I don't want to do dumb things anymore. I don't want to look at the world for my help. I don't want to look at the world for my guidance. I don't want to look at the world in un-Christian leaders to give me direction. I want to trust God. As we look to get our lives back on track and we look to get our lives back to some kind of normalcy, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray that God would allow you to be led by His Word, that you would follow after Him, and that this next year will be the greatest year we've ever had. That's what I pray for. It's what I'm needing. It's what I'm believing for. So as we get ready to close, I'm asking you to just search your heart. Search your heart where you are. Pray where you are. Pastor Caleb will come up in just a minute and dismiss you. But don't leave here so quick. God, look at me. Examine me. If there's anything that I need to change, if there's anything wicked in me, Lord, renew in me. Clean my heart, oh God. Renew a right spirit in me. God, I've given it to you today.